Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chalusky.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it's Merry Christmas here.
Merry Christmas indeed, man. The holidays are next week, and we are drinking a beer that is full festive flavors for jolly, joyful jingles.
Yeah, Santa's lost, you know, it's hard times for Santa. He's naked.
Santa is butt booty ass naked with suspenders and a barrel.
Right.
This is an amazing fucking can. I love this can.
Yeah.
But then there's also Santa topless in the chimney raising his fist.
Right.
Is there a better...
Is he going in or coming out?
Is he stuck?
Could be stuck. Because going in naked into people's houses, yeah, probably not great.
You know, Santa's a creep anyway. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. You know, he knows all the kids. He knows all the shit about the kids. Santa's a weirdo anyway. But this is... singularly away from that Santa shit is a very cool can.
Because last week we were drinking the Christmas ale from Great Lakes, which is an ale with spices and honey. Mm-hmm. But this one's a red ale with ginger and orange peel, so spices and orange.
Yeah, for sure. And a red ale base. So you get a little more range on the Christmas ale than you do other styles, probably.
And I think we talked about this last time in the last episode. I think we both agree we just kind of like Christmas more as just a beer to have, and I'm more likely just to be like, all right, yeah, grab a Fistmas. I could have a Fistmas in October, in March, because it's a red ale.
Fistmas is a good-ass beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no matter when you have it. And then just in general, like, there ain't a ton of red ales out there, you know?
All right, so we'll probably crush all four of these cans here.
Yeah, this is 6.5% from Rev.
Nick, you went to an event, but I'll first mention I went to Alarmist because we got more to say on your event than my going to Alarmist again. Which,
this is kind of like Cheers for you.
Yeah, it's just a good place to go.
Your norm.
Mm-hmm. You know. I like what they have. They got a couple checks, a light and a dark.
There you go.
A couple crispy ales, lagers.
Well, they're probably lagers.
They're lagers. Crispy lagers. Yeah. IPA on. Pantsless is always on. Yeah. It's just a good time hanging out there. No frills.
Yeah, exactly. No frills. Deep Northwest Side. You know, they usually have a firkin. They usually have cocktails.
Right.
You know,
this kind big of parking lot, so it's easy to get to too. Yeah,
these things are important. You know. Do you have a good range of stuff? Can I park there?
Right.
Will I get a ticket hanging out on the main street by your place, or can I just park at your place?
Right. And the bartender, you know, the one working that night, she's like, you know, last call is like kind of when there's not a strict last call thing happening there. It's not like she's trying to get out of there, or it's like, all right, you guys can have another one kind of thing.
So, they're here for the people.
Yeah.
I can dig it.
So, always a good time hanging out Alarmist. I didn't end up getting any cans to go.
No.
Just kind of was drinking there. I felt like I had enough things at home at the moment.
Just kind of falling through. Yeah. I always like when I'm coming from south of downtown. And I seem to always be coming from that direction. A good stop is always right off the expressway at, you know, Peterson.
Right.
Just get off at Alarmist. Get off and have some Alarmist and then finish your journey. You know, it's a good stop.
Yeah. And we talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago. Go to the places you like to go to, because it's sad if they end up not being there. So,
dude, we say this a lot. And
following
through. We say things like kind of halfway joking a lot of times. Like, that's for real.
Yeah.
Like, we've heard that from, like, prominent breweries. Like, breweries that you would assume are just doing okay. They're like, man, everybody's doing okay on the weekend. But that, you know, that weeknight shit can kill a brewery. Weeknights, people not coming in,
right,
can kill a brewery.
Because if you have two people in drinking, you have a bartender there, you had to pay them probably more than the beer you made that night.
It's funny you bring this up, because there was a pod that talked about Rev, the closing.
Yeah.
December 14th, Rev.
Kenzie. Or not Rev. No. Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, the original brew pub closed. And the discussion point was they're always overstaffed because upstairs is an event space.
Yeah.
And then you got the brew crew. And then you got the front of the house and bartenders and shit. And these are, they're not necessarily specialties, but the same people aren't doing all those things.
So you
have to hire, these are three different businesses. You have to hire three different sets of people to run three different businesses. So you're always overstaffed, you know, like Nick and Brad work there. Nick and Brad aren't doing all those things. Seating people, making beer, pouring beer, cooking food, hosting events. And that same person's not doing everything. So it's like, we don't understand logistically. Like it's a lot to carry.
Right. Takes a lot of people, which, you know, increases the bills. And if people aren't coming in.
Yeah. And if food in general is more expensive than just food, and unless it's full every night, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to justify having a restaurant if it's not, you're not getting traffic every night.
Sure. But that was my only stop this past week. You went to an event and got some lowdown.
Yeah, man.
Rumors are flying.
Rumors abound, you know. Cheers to the good folks at Ravinia, well, now Steep Ravine Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said this was their last night. So, you know, I'm like, well, shit. Yeah, I'm going to go have a round because, you know, I have a lot of respect for what they did to the space.
Right, that bar is amazing.
It's a killer space, man. They transformed the space. They got a rooftop, all this kind of shit. You know, they got the big windows. So, you know, I'm going to go say goodbye.
Stupid swings.
I got the swings. So it sounds like, so they're going to make a formal announcement, you know, like in early January. But the rumors are that, you know, they're not officially exiting the space as a tap room, and that it's just going to be a reconcept of a space with special guests. So it'll be like, you know, the rumor is that it'll be a completely different name for the space. There'll be a different concept for the space. Like, they'll keep the swings, but everything else will be completely different.
Okay.
And then they'll have, it'll be more of like a collective of either brewers or spirit producers, or maybe both.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
That'll occupy the space. Isn't that a bar? A bar that makes beer. There's a term for this. Because Twisted Hippo, I heard Twisted Hippo mention it.
A bar that makes space?
No. When, like, different corporations all occupy the same space.
Oh.
I can't think of a name.
Like, yeah, the co-op?
No, it's not that. It's like more specific to beer. It escapes me. But it sounds like they're... It sounds like they're reconcepting. Like, I think the original conversation was, hey, we're kind of just going to focus on making beer and packaging it.
Right.
And we won't have a presence as a brew pub. But then when you go there, the rumor is, well, that might not be completely true.
Okay.
So it sounds like they're just going to, it'll be more of a reconcept than actually exiting the brew pub space.
Okay, who's, I guess... That means they must have been getting people in there, right? Because otherwise you'd just be like, let's cut our losses here.
Exactly. So, like, they got the location up in Highland Park, and that location kind of sits on, like, basically Main Street. It's in the Virginia corridor. So it's next to a tea shop and a coffee shop and, you know, all these little small businesses. And it's a smaller footprint.
Right.
You know, it's like straight up Main Street, USA.
Yeah, there's not that many tables in
there. Yeah. So then, so they got that space. But then they're like, but this space... It's weird because it sits right off the expressway, so it's actually pretty easy to get to. And that's what made me want to go on a Saturday night. It's like, shit, I hop on the expressway, get off one exit, boom, I'm there in under 2 miles.
Sure.
You know, so, it's, you know, but it's also kind of a weird dead zone for stuff.
Right. I think we talked about it with them closing. There's nothing else. You can't walk to anywhere. It feels like what small bar or small bar look.
Fullerton. Oh,
Fullerton that became Beer Bistro. That was like...
Good point. So this is Fullerton in Southport for people who know. It's Fullerton in Southport. And yeah,
it's like, oh, this seems like a great spot. Oh shit, I'm here. I can't go anywhere else. Because how did I get here? And where do I go?
Yeah. It's weird. Chicago has these... They're actual dead zones in Chicago.
Yeah.
Where there's like literally an intersection and there's four corners and there might be one thing on the corners, or there might be nothing. There's a literal dead zone. But But then Chicago's got these other dead zones where there's a bunch of stuff on the corner. And there's other businesses and, you know, residential stuff. But then for some reason, nothing, no concepts seem to work in the retail or the restaurant space. And on specific corners, it's very weird.
Right. There's a, that just happened to be at Wicker Park this past week. There's the spot right on the division.
It's Christmas Goods Help.
Right across from Bangers and Lace that has turned over, I don't know, at least 10 times.
So there's a liquor store across the street, and you talk about the other direction? Like,
yeah, the other
going,
direction.
Going west?
Yeah, going west.
Okay. It was Low Country at one point.
It was Low Country, then it became a Mexican coffee shop. It's been a, I don't know, it was like some sort of nightclub-y thing. Yeah. It just like can't work, where it's like, Bangers and Lace, just do what Bangers and Lace is doing. Like, what do you, what doesn't work on your corner that works on that corner?
It's weird. It's weird. I can't explain it, or, you know, I don't understand. And then to be fair, right, like, you know, Brad and I, we observe all these things, but we don't really have like skin in the game.
Right.
You know, so we kind of observe from that standpoint. Like, we observe as people who didn't put a down payment on anything or buy one tank or right. Not or nothing, well, no bench or nothing.
Look at Alarmist going there. There's nothing there, but there's not a lot of bars in Saugnash.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just a bar in Saugnash that brews beer.
And I don't understand, now that you say that, I don't understand what works and what doesn't work. It seems like some shit works and it makes no sense. Some shit doesn't work. It also makes no sense. I don't understand like the rhythm behind it. You know
right,
what I
like
mean?
Why does Sketchbook Skokie work so well? And there's nothing here. There's nothing over there. Right. I don't even know what else is around there.
You know,
it's just off a bike trail.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a parking lot.
You know, there's a huge like condo building across the street from Ravinia. And then there's you know, there's a huge office that shares their parking lot.
Yeah.
And then on the next block is fucking Maplewood, one of the best breweries in the city.
Which is killing it.
So on paper, this should, all this synergy should lead to like a, you know, something that is hopping all the time.
Right.
Right. But it might not. It sounds like it might not.
Right, because even like Owen and In
is at the end of the alley from Maplewood.
Or it was.
It was. Right next to the movie theater on Western, it closed.
But that didn't work.
It's just so weird. The burger's good. It's a good location. Why'd they close?
Well, then someone died, but I think pandemic kind of kicked their butt. But still.
And she had, they had more than one location.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, fuck it. Oh, well, that's actually.
Bishy.
So now we're circling back. This is a good point. I think it might be less about Ravinia, Chicago not working and more about, well, shit, we got this other location. This is Rev's thing. This was Half Acre's thing. This was Bishi Group's thing.
Yeah.
We got more than one location. Listen, let's just focus on the thing that's working and then rework the other stuff.
Okay.
So maybe that's what it is, right? Because we're all talking about people that have multiple locations.
Yeah, because, man, we're all over the place. But we were talking at FOBAB to someone who's a brewer at Mars, and he brews at Mars in Logan.
Okay.
And I'm like, I have never been to Mars Logan.
I didn't know Mars Logan was brewing.
And we didn't know they were brewing. Why is it Mars Brewing at this point?
Like, well,
I don't even think of it as Mars.
The one out south, you know, is they're doing karaoke, they're doing whiskey,
mm-hmm.
They're doing seltzers, you know, they're doing the one out by the one in Bridgeport, I understand.
Yeah.
But what's the one in Logan? I don't know.
That's just taking up space.
I've been once. And I was like, this is cool. Maybe I'm going to go to Marge's. Marge's is next door.
Right. Have some mediocre ice cream. But
no, I sit in the same seat that the fucking Ringo Starr sat in.
But that's another spot that has like a second location that probably doesn't need this second location.
So I think that's what we're seeing, right? It's less about the Ravinia space not working and more about crews that have two locations trying to figure out, A, how do we get out of the second location, or B, if we can keep it, how do we make it, optimize it?
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's what we're seeing with Ravinia Chicago.
So what's the space going to be besides a collective
It's a fair question. Like, I don't know if... Because
this event was with Moore.
Yeah, so this was like a farewell party. And then the guys from Moore's Brewing is there.
Okay.
And, you know, we know these guys. And, you know, we've actually had a lot of fun with these guys. These guys party everywhere. I always describe Moore's as like, you know, they're kind of their national brand at this point. You know, they're in Colorado, they're in New York, and Philly, and D.C., and Chicago, all these places, like seven places. You can get their beer on Deep South Side on 79th Street in like a lounge. Or you can get their beer at the Four Seasons downtown. Like, it's sure. It's just a strange dynamic that they've been able to pull off. You
right.
Know? You know, get yourself a Republican, that kind of stuff. So Moore's is hosting this event with Ravinia, and we drink all year, and I'm like, well, these are two crews I've never seen party together. So what is to this?
Yeah.
So
is Moore's coming into space?
It's, you know, you don't want to, it sounds like it's going to be a new concept and it'll be more than one brewery. And all I know is that Moore's was at the closing party for Ravinia. So it sounds like this was kind of a precursor to things that might.
Right. Because where does Moore's brew at?
Yeah, they were brewing at 18th Street down in Hammond, Indiana.
Okay.
But then I think they left 18th Street and they're brewing at Prost. And Prost is in Colorado. Prost is like a state-of-the-art contract brewery.
Okay.
Somewhere near Denver, I believe.
So it probably makes sense to be maybe brewing packaged stuff.
I think you keep the Colorado footprint for the stores, but then you make stuff at, if this all works out, if Moore's is taking over the space, you would make stuff there and have it exclusive to, you know, four packs to go. Mm-hmm. Fresh beer to go for these events that they throw.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of their thing. I think they hang their hat on, you know, like, we throw a lot of killer events.
Okay.
Yeah, whether it's a boat or, you know, Sunday morning, Jay-Z brunch at Benny's, or, you know, they do events with, like, you know, house party DJs. Like, they tend to have, they do a really good job with activations. They throw events all year long.
Okay.
We were saying in the pre-show, like, their flagship event is in June. It's like the Emancipation Ball. It's kind of like an adult prom of some sort.
Okay.
Everybody goes out of their way to get dressed up in, like, tuxedos and ball gowns and shit. And it's like a summertime ball, you know, like around Juneteenth, I think, right? So that's right at Rocolona Garden. So walking distance from where this space is.
Oh, that makes sense.
So it's kind of like, okay, when you look at all the stuff you've seen Moore's do, and you see them at the closing party for Steep Ravine, you're like, oh, shit. I kind of think this all might be a thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's what I observed.
But then you also heard that it's going to be a sports bar?
Yeah, I think the reconcept is happening.
Yeah.
The reconcept is happening. I think they're stripping the thing they're reconsidering everything except for the swings. They're keeping the swings.
They're keeping the bar? The bar?
And they're keeping the bar.
Okay. Because that bar, like, probably can't move.
It's killer. It's a Brunswick bar imported from Wisconsin. It's a very, honestly, it's one of the very nice bar.
It's
the greatest bar. It's a nice bar. And then the rooftop. But other than that, I think after that, you're going to try to get, you know, close to 30 TVs in there and then just kind of change it up.
That seems stupid. Like the TV, like.
Let's preface. This is not our money. This is not our money.
The reconcept thing. Great. The stuff wasn't working. The tacos were good.
Mm-hmm.
The burger was one of the worst. The food, like, just everything wasn't. It didn't feel like it was working anymore. It kept getting added on to
it.
Adding a sports bar idea just seems silly at this point. Like.
Let's back up. When was the last time you've been to it? These are fair questions, right?
Right. The only, I guess, place there's Haymarket is basically kind of a sports
bar. Haymarket is basically a sports bar.
Then there's the spot on Division and Damon. There's like a bar right there on the corner.
Oh, yeah, the Anthem.
Anthem.
It used to be something else. The Anthem's a pretty good name.
Right. But
these aren't places you're actively going.
Right. I watch basketball, I go to all these baseball games, but I'm not like watching sports, and so I don't know people who go out to watch sports anymore.
Now, if you're doing, you know, the WWE wrestling on a Monday, then, you know, your boy might show up. Right, but other than that, I'm with you. Like, I don't have an allegiance. I went to DePaul. I don't have an allegiance to a fucking college team necessarily.
Yeah.
I'm not super into football. All the teams in this town really fucking suck professionally.
Right, so you're not getting anyone to come watch whatever Chicago team's playing.
So what are you watching, like the World Series of bowling or pool?
I don't know, whatever.
Fucking the World Series of dice, like the fucking Dave Chappelle's kid. Like,
whatever,
what are you watching?
Like Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football thing, but that's not that long. Like, there's too many TVs, and I think people don't want to have all these TVs when they go out.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think of Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right.
And I go there because my coworkers forced me to go.
Sure.
Right. And then
but you're not going there to watch TV.
No. Yeah, cool. But every time I'm there, I'm like, damn, there's a lot of TVs in this motherfucker.
Right.
I think I've been to some parties like this, and it could be really cool. You get a DJ, and the DJ only plays during the commercial timeouts, and you take the approach that the football team was taking. It's like, hey, we got the stadium like the Bears. The Bears have a stadium on the lake. You know, this stadium, the argument was on some podcast that there are some grocery stores that make more money over 12 months than Soldier Field would make in like 16 and 8 games, right? But you put in all your, if you're the Bears, you put all your money into these 8 games and let that float you for the entire year. Maybe that's what the bar's doing. The bar's like, yo, we take these 8 weeks, 16 weeks, and like this is our focus.
Right, because they're too far away from any team to be like a bar for that like team. Like they're not near Wrigley, they're not near Sox. Maybe when whatever gets built in like Lincoln Yards, if that ever, because there was like talk of like a soccer team there.
Yeah, those are fair questions. What are the economics for a sports bar? I don't know.
It just seems dumb.
I don't know. And then, like, we're saying that because we are two people who are in a bubble and don't go to sports bars.
Right.
Maybe there's people that go to sports bars every week. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. No one wants to pay to watch these things, so they got to go somewhere.
If you're doing, like, mud wrestling or WWE, I'm going. If you're showing the Sox, then, and as a Sox fan, I'm not going.
Right. But it would be cheaper to go to the Sox game then go to Ravinia Steve Ravine and watch a game there.
That's fair. I'm curious to see. This is my concern with this thing. This is my concern. These are two crews that, you know, you don't necessarily have. Is this a destination outside of the idea that Moores can channel in the energy from all the events they've done all across the city, all across the country?
Right. Can Moores get people to the space?
If Moores channels that energy and somehow has programming and activations for an entire year, Goose Island style, then this works. Right? But if you have a thing where it's a split personality and it's not completely a Steve Ravine space, it's not completely a Moores space, it's kind of somewhere in the middle, then this might not work. I thought about this and I was like, you know, what if, you know, I don't know if you've been to Luella's all over on Lincoln Avenue.
No.
But, you know, there's Luella's, which is like a soul food restaurant, right? And they're looking for a new space. There's Cleo's, which is in Avondale in the Ghost Kitchen. They're looking for a new space. Now, if somebody like Cleo's or Luella's went into this place, then this might work. Because those are places that people love that don't have a home.
And need a space.
And need a space. So now you have a specific voice, a specific point of view that you're speaking from. Like, yo, we are this thing. So wherever you are, you come.
Yeah, you gotta,
now it's more of a destination.
I think you got to make it more of like that Time Out Chicago kind of thing. Like, you know, have the food, have a couple breweries, and then have the space. Like, don't rely on, be like, don't do a half acre thing and be like, we're going to try to do some food here. It's like, just get the good kitchen that you were supposed to have Big Star doing your food, and you didn't. You can't do the food. Ravinia, you can't. Steve Ravine, you can't do the food. Get one of these other people to do the food.
Get someone that people know, that people are psyched about.
Right, and don't have Moores doing the food because they're really good at beer and the parties.
And events, yeah. So I think I will, two things. A, I'm rooting for this to work because I like all those guys and I hope it works. And then B, it actually could work.
Sure.
Or not.
But I think that makes more sense. You gotta, use everyone's thing, and then if you're ordering from, you know, one of these kitchens, the Cleo's or whatever, you could still order from them. Food's coming out the side door that's going to like Grubhub or DoorDash kind of things, and it's like coming from them. They got a kitchen, they're serving here, so they're doing like, they can do twice as much food out of one space.
Yeah. So it's an interesting idea, and this is all just kind of rumors and hearsay. We're just, you know, this is wild speculation, drunk history.
But sports bar sounds stupid.
Yeah.
A more space sounds cool. Sports bar seems stupid.
Yeah, unless, I mean, yeah, I, as someone who drinks a lot, I don't know that I would go out of my way to drink at a place with the intention of watching stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to be overwhelmed when I go somewhere.
The thing about TVs is that, like, I was like, we talk about B-dubs. I'm at B-dubs at the bar, and it's like noon, and I'm, you know, I'm not even drinking beer. I'm just checking out what they got on tap, and I'm having B-dubs. And then I can't stop looking at these fucking TVs.
Right.
Because they're huge and they're right in front of you. So, but I think that's a different kind of drinker.
Yeah.
I like to hear from that person. I like
that wants to go watch stuff at the bar, but when you could just pull out your phone and watch the same stuff.
Right? Yeah. Well, maybe he's gambling. They're watching, maybe they're gambling and stuff. Maybe you're a gambler. Maybe. I'm stressed. It's a stressed time.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see
what happens. Yeah. So.
But if you're, you know, if you're the guys that run that space, you're just like, well, shit, what's the next iteration of our thing? And I think that's what
like TVs about. Are real cheap. I really went all out on Black Friday and, you know, got a lot of TVs, and I don't know what to do with them now. Sports bar. what else? Oh, last week we were talking about FOBAB and everything, and we forgot we were talking to the president of the Illinois Brewers Guild.
We gotta get him on the show.
Right.
So we got we got three interviews we need to do. We need to interview Rubinia, our guy El Presidente,
Marty
Scott from Barrelponics is his thing.
Where is the Barrel-Aged Christmas?
Barrel-Aged Christmas actually might be really fun.
Yeah.
Get some neutral oak barrels. You know, don't give up on the. I still want to feel. Just
a French, like a fooder, like a oak, French oak.
Yeah, I want these flavors. But give us a, you know, give us a winter warmer, ridiculous 12% version.
Oh, speaking
of. You know?
I'm all over the place. But Beguile is doing, like, every Saturday, the hot poker.
Beers. Yeah, there's a name for that.
Yeah, I forgot what it was. But I gotta go and do it.
Hot poker's fun.
I never done it. You done it?
I did it when Eataly opened. When Ely opened years ago, probably like 13 years ago now, the Dogfish Sam, he was poking everybody's beer.
Okay. Yeah. The guy was doing it, I think, every weekend.
Oh, sure.
For December or the winter.
You know, it caramelizes the head on the beer. It changes the beer. You know, so if you got two cups and you got one without it and then you get one poked, you can see how this fucking thing works. It's cool. I would do it poked.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Just one.
Just one.
Just once. See, I like it.
Maybe I like it. Maybe I don't.
Poke curious. Anyway, at FOBAB, we're talking to the president, and we were talking about
raced out, man. Cheers to him.
Yeah, we were talking about the THC beverages.
Yeah.
Because I didn't understand why Binnie's can have a THC beverage, but I have to go, if I'm going to one of the dispensaries, I have to show my ID, I have to wait in a private room, then go to a kiosk, and then wait in another locked room. Like
doors on doors, yeah.
But I can go into Binnie's and just be like, oh, thanks, and I'm out.
I went to
this kind of look at you and be like, yeah, you look 21, oh, let me scan your ID to scan it, but yeah. I don't care, and then you're out.
These are totally different experiences.
Like, whatever I'm doing at the dispensary, I'm kind of freaked out.
Seriously.
But he said the THC beverages are using the hemp plant.
Yeah, so you can derive THC, which is a psychoactive ingredient in cannabis. You know, you can derive it from cannabis or from hemp.
Right, and this was always one of these like thoughts of the anti marijuana legalization, or like even using hemp, because they're like, oh well, you could just get a whole bunch of hemp and smoke it, and everyone's like, you would need a lot of hemp.
I think THC is in hemp, but in smaller quantities, so it takes a lot more hemp to get THC.
It'd be like drinking kombucha to get drunk.
Yeah.
You need a lot of kombucha.
You know, it's 2.7. This kombucha is 2.5-3%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they figured out how to smash all this hemp down and just, I don't know, squeeze out the THC.
They're concentrating the hemp to get as much THC as, you know, to make THC beverages that are on par with some gummies.
Right.
That are cannabis products.
So this is an interesting process that's probably also terrible for the environment, because you're using way more hemp, and if they could just use the cannabis plant or the THC part of it instead of the hemp, this would be a lot easier.
You would have a lot less waste.
Yeah.
Unless there's... Cause, you know,
well, there might not be that much waste, but...
Isn't that... I thought that was it. No.
But you're using so much hemp, I don't know what they do with the rest of the hemp.
Sounds like wasting, right?
I guess.
Yeah, like, what do you do with all this hemp, you know?
So that's why these liquor stores can sell these beverages, because they're hemp THC.
Right.
And not cannabis. Or, I know hemp is a cannabis plant, but not the...
They're related.
Yeah.
But,
not the marijuana plant.
Yeah. And, you're right. Illinois law calls out it's illegal to sell these beverages if the THC came from cannabis.
Right.
It's not illegal if the same ingredient came from a different plant, hemp.
Right.
Yeah. Even though they're like cousins.
Right. It's like a farmer bill, like he said, like the 1947 or something.
I'd love for him to talk about it, man. Because he's been on shows. He came to the Molson Hour show, and they're like way northwest. Like, you and I are northwest side, but these boys, I've been to their place. It's like way the fuck north. We should get him on.
Yeah.
We should get him on.
Well, so that kind of cleared up for me why you can go into Binny's now, buy gummies, or buy some beverages. And now, why would you go to the dispensary? I guess you're getting a different product, because those are sometimes like a little more like, do you want this kind of plant? You want to do this thing?
People who are interested in like the different strains by name.
But if you want to get fucked up, just go get the THC beverage.
You can go to Binny's and there's an entire corner of THC beverages.
Right.
Entire corner, like a lot of different options, a lot of different flavors.
Yeah. And some of them have CBD in them, some of them don't, because they can add CBD to these things. There's no alcohol in them, because that's a federal...
It's weird. It's weird that they're selling them in Binny's, because there's no booze in
them. Right, that's true, but it's the same audience, right? Like the...
It's people that are looking. There's alcohol and cannabis high. I guess they kind of see it as the same, or related.
I'm sure. I bet some place like Whole Foods sells them, too. Any place that... You know, Jewel might not sell these products, but anywhere else is probably like, all right, yeah, why not?
Yeah, makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't mind them, but I don't always want them. Or the idea of smoking, eating, and drinking all affect you differently. So you kind of need to be aware of that as you like consume these products, because I think they said drinking it hits you faster than an edible would, so.
Fair, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then people need to be mindful that there are products out there that you can walk right in to a Binny's and buy that are like 15 milligrams, that if you're not someone who consumes that on the regular, will put you completely on your ass for an entire fucking day.
Yeah, but I can go in to Binny's and get a 15% stout, and maybe you're like or you can just get a bottle of some other, you can get a bottle of anything that's pretty high in alcohol.
Yeah.
And put you on your ass too.
I mean, true.
So I think that's the argument for it at this point.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, so like, yeah, you're right. So if I go get Death by Coronas and it's on a 4-pack.
Yeah.
People who associate 4-packs with stuff like this, 6.5.
Right, or if you just go get a Boone's Farm. Right?
Like, Boone's Farm looks like wine.
Like, or like one of those juice box kind of, or a canned margarita. That's 13%.
And it looks like an energy drink. Yeah. Yeah, slam that while you're waiting on the fucking next bus. Yeah. You're going to, this Space Mountain is what's going
to
happen.
Right. You probably have to pee more than you would on the THC beverage.
I guess you're right. I think other products have entered that this is dangerous, you should read it category before CBD guys.
Right.
Because you're right.
The Mountain Dew vodka drink, that's targeted to the people that just want to get fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess now that we're talking about it, yeah. Especially with some of the rev stuff. Some of that stuff, some of those beers are like 15%.
Right.
And it's a can. And you, and the, if you don't have any other exposure to canned beer, if you drink Natty Ice and you have no other exposure to canned beer and you come up with a fucking Cafe D, yeah, hello.
I don't think the Natty Draper is going to also be like a good Natty Ice.
So
or I could spend $45 on a 4-pack and have this can.
But the vehicle, the vehicle is the same. It's the same 12-ounce can. That's what I'm saying. That's all.
Did the return on the Natty Ice 24-pack for like probably like $13?
He's like, I need to return all these strawberry Natty Ice. And,
I just need this one can of Death Woods.
Let me get some more of this. These Star with coffee. Let me get some more of that.
But yeah, I didn't realize that for the THC beverages, and that kind of makes a lot of sense. I would expect us to see some sort of law change on the, like, making probably the other beverages easier to, like, get into the marketplace.
And that's the Guild's fight. We think of the Guild as a party machine, you know, because FUBAB's such a huge party. Beer in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they throw those parties as fundraisers so they can, you know, widen the footprint of what you're able to buy, you know, as a consumer.
Yeah.
So.
And then, yeah, and you talked about Brian Johnson's, like, tax on alcohol, how they pretty much squashed that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Right? It was like 13, no, it was 30% on alcohol beverages, which would have probably added, you know, your $8 beer would become $10 or $11, and so.
Yeah, Brandon Johnson is for sure not going to be reelected. For sure, I think he pissed everybody. People that like him and people that don't like him, equally, yeah. all in one swoop. These fucking taxes on everything. It's like,
yeah, I don't think we didn't have a good choice there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because the other guy didn't. He lived in Palos Heights.
Right.
And he was lying, saying he lived in the city.
Or we could have kept.
Oh, fucking Lori.
Yeah, we're going
to come to Lori. Hey, Lori's like, hey, the defense gave us all this money. Let's give it to the police. Fuck. This town, man. Sorry. Now we're everywhere.
Well, we weren't everywhere before that. Anything else we need to touch on or offend anyone,
man,
before we get out?
I think that's it, man. Shout out to Goose Island. They're celebrating their 10,000th batch of all time with a grand crew.
Okay.
It's a Grand Cru aged for 8 months in neutral oak cask.
Oh, is that where you got the idea for the Fismas here?
I would like to see Fismas in a fucking cask. In a neutral oak cask. after 36 years, Goose has brewed 10,000 batches, so they're doing a Belgian strong ale aged in neutral oak cask for 8 months.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's luxurious with a long finish. So, good for them.
When's it supposed to come out?
Let's see. You can get it December 19th on Ozone.
Oh, okay.
So that's today.
So December 20th at Benny's next to
Rare. Next to all six, well, five, because Rare, you can only get it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But all the other five BCS that came out this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you had to pick any of those up, if you're going there for any of the stouts, the Goose Island ones, there's the Darkness ones in there right now.
Yeah.
I saw one of the Cruz Blancas, Ray Gordo? Ray Gordo was there.
So the Luchador series.
I saw just that one.
Okay.
I didn't see Sketchbook stuff. I actually didn't hear about Sketchbooks.
I'm trying to think of the name of there. Something Celestial.
Yeah. Or Rev's Deep Woods. What are you picking up in that, like, that price point and that
Krampus from OIB.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I haven't seen Benthic Opinions yet, but I have seen Orn.
Oh yeah.
2-pack of Orn, $15. 2-pack. Pretty solid.
Okay. Is that what you go with?
Orn is delicious. I think we took it for granted for years because it's not a stout, it's a strong ale. So it's got more of those kind of, you know, fig and, you know, caramel barley wine flavors. So it's stout adjacent. It's more of a, you know, it's not a stout, it's a strong ale. But, and then I would, you know, Ryeway is, if it's Ryeway or Straight Jacket, I'm going Ryeway.
Okay.
I just like the, you know, kind of gummy, bouncy, spicy thing that Ryeway does that Straight Jacket does not. Straight Jacket is
so out of that lineup, you're more likely to pick up a Deep Woods.
I'm picking up Ryeway. Yeah, or if, you know, if I'm feeling fancy, I would get the vanilla BCS, but it's $19 a bottle.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Ryeway, you get a 4-pack for $30. You know, so.
See, I saw these, and I was most tempted to pick up one of the Darkness variants.
Okay.
Because I feel like I can have the other things pretty often.
Sure.
Or, like, I can get them. Like, oh, some bar's going to have them.
You're not missing out.
But the Darkness one, I was like, oh, there's a regular, there's cola, like...
There's a limoncello this year?
It's got a very pretty box.
Yeah.
That, like, whatever, but it kind of, like, I was like, I was very tempted. That would have been my most impulse purchase. And it's just like, I haven't had one of these in a long time. Let's see what they're doing.
We've been, you know, we've both been to Darkness Day on different occasions, and as a thing... Just in general, I think OG Darkness is probably superior to OG Dark Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm curious to know what the guys in Minnesota are doing. So
right,
yeah, I would like to try the Darkness. A lot of times it's on tap at the Map Room. I like to try it there, versus committing to a bottle. But nowadays, it might be the same price if you got it on draft.
Right, the Map Room one. At least $10 for an 8-ounce pour.
At least. And then in the store, it was like, you get a bottle for like $14-15 or something.
Right.
It's kind of same. You know, you walk in and drink it at home versus, you know, drinking and tipped.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what you want to do. But yeah, I would definitely, you know, and I haven't had it for years. I actually would like to know what Darkness tastes like.
See, so that, I was very tempted, and that would have been my, like, pick.
Yeah. Like OG or one of the other ones?
I probably would have got a variant.
Okay.
On that. Just because I would want to see how their variants compare to, like, maybe Goose Island's variants. Like, the stout's gonna be good, right?
Yeah.
Stout's gotta be good to continue it and do variants.
Yeah, it's one of the longest running stouts in the Midwest. You know, you got Darkness, Dark Lord, Goose Island, Bourbon County. In the Midwest, those are probably might be the three longest running annual releases for stouts. What's Bell's doing? Bell's does it. Expedition,
so...
And then shout out to Expedition, because it's the only one that's not... Well, Darkness is an adjunct either. Darkness is not an adjunct stout, and neither is Expedition stout from Bell's.
Kalamazoo is a good stout.
Yeah, I do like Kalamazoo stout. It comes in a 6-pack, too. Everything else we named does not. Kalamazoo stout is pretty good.
Man, can't think of who would be... up there with these people.
Yeah, maybe somebody in Wisconsin that we're overlooking, but does New Glarus have a stout? I don't think so.
Right? I don't think they have a stout.
I can't think of a stout for them. And then who else, and what other stout in Wisconsin are you checking for?
Right.
So, but yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah. That's going to do it for this episode then. I think that's, you know, Christmas is next week. We'll see. We might have one more episode before the end of the year.
I'm around, man. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
You know, so I'm around.
All right. Well.
I'm gonna go get this poker from fucking.
We got to run down our top beers of this year, which I think is gonna be hard because
we did. I don't think we did a halfway.
We didn't do halfway.
Halfway helps.
And nothing like stood out, right?
I was picking one beer that just really made me happy. You know.
Rosa? All right, take care.
Cheers.